Okay, today's daf is Chulin, daf Kuf Chaf Zayin, 127. As we continue our travels through Parak Ha'arva HaRotev, we have three more blot to this parak, the ninth parak of Maseches Chulin. We are on Kuf Chaf Avma Beis. We just read the Mishnah. One or two comments more about the Mishnah. Yesterday we learned about the mouse that was half mouse, half ground, and the Mishnah had a machlokas. The Tanakhama held that if you touch the basar tame, if you touch the adama tahar, Rabbi Yehuda says even if you touch the adama kenega the basar tame. So we saw the Rambam. First we saw Rashi that said that it's not parin v'ravin, doesn't reproduce naturally, it just comes from the ground. The Rambam who said that he's heard many people who have seen it, but he's never seen it himself, and it's a davar hamatmiya to suggest that it exists. Then we saw the Tosfos Yontif, who said that this is a raya to Maisa Bracious, in that, you see, this is Yesh Mi something. The Teres Yisrael explains that it's also a jump in qualitative brios, going from domeim to chai. So that is similar, at least similar enough for us, to prove to be more on Maisa Bracious of Yesh Mi Ayin. But then we saw the Teferis Yisrael. Teferis Yisrael quoted, I didn't bring it again, but quoted a German wise man, Link, who said that, oh, of course these exist on the Egyptian, in the Egyptian area, and we've seen them, and it's never yadua v'chulu v'chulu. So I just found Dr. Lyman, who is always a scholar in all areas, he has an article in the Chazon Nachum, which was a sefer that was put out for Rabbi Lamb's 70th birthday a bunch of years ago. He has an article titled, Rabbi Israel Lipschitz, that's the Teferis Yisrael, and the mouse that is half flesh and half earth. A note on Torah Ramad in the 19th century. So he talks there how he finally found the original source. It is very hard to find the link. So he found the original source of Link, and he says it's a total misquote of what Link says. Link is giving an example of a reason why in the ancient Egyptian world they believed in certain types of animals. Lamaisa, it is not a basis for he said the Teferis Yisrael obviously didn't have an original. He might have seen it from somewhere else or saw only part of it. A cursory reading of this passage would lead one to imagine that Lipschitz had chanced upon a scientific treatise by a contemporary scholar which proved that the very creature mentioned by the rabbis was alive and well in Egypt in the 19th century. Alas, an examination of the book cited by Lipschitz proves otherwise. And he goes through Heinrich Friedrich Link, 1767 to 1850, a distinguished German botanist and zoologist. The Chulu, he goes through the whole history. Kedarko, shall Dr. Lyman, who knows everything. And he quotes, Link was this suggesting that the very, he quotes all the Latin and the German, and he spoke, he continues and says that it's not really a basis. And he goes on to say that he doesn't think this ever existed, but people might have spoken about it, and there's no reason, there's nothing less in our emun of our Mesorah, that if the Rabbanan of the time of the Mishnah heard from people that out in far-off lands there exists such an animal, they'll tell us what the halach is. It doesn't matter whether they think it's real or not. There have been other far-fetched discussions in the Gemara, but just because something in reality they haven't seen doesn't mean that they're not going to discuss it to tell us what the halacha would be. But you don't have to say that, oh, they actually saw, they actually believed it. They heard. Many people spoke about that in far-off lands these types of animals existed. Okay, so let's tell you the halacha. What would be the halacha about the tumas nevela, about such an animal? Balav dafka that it was actually seen. And he says you have similar halachas. We've spoken about this one before, related to killing lice on Shabbos. Right, one of the examples that we that we quote from that Maseches Shabbos, the Gemara says that they're also einan parin v'ravin. They don't reproduce. They believe then, or they seem to believe in spontaneous generation. That it doesn't. They come from moldy fruit. They're not born from the outside. So again, other examples we've quoted from Rav Dessler in the past that said maybe it's just has the halacha of as if they're born from the fruits, not that they're actually, but either way, Dr. Lyman goes here, and at the end he quotes a beautiful thought from Rav Hirsch in a letter where he says, even in one's own field of study, it's neither possible nor expected to discover and to know everything by means of one's own experiments. Most of one's knowledge is dependent upon research done by others. Should those prove to have been erroneous, no blame is attached to the individual. Such too is the case with respect to the sages' knowledge in the sciences. They acquired the body of scientific knowledge as established in their age. In this respect, their scholarship was on par with that of their Gentile contemporaries. V'chulu. And that he says that doesn't mean that the halacha changes at all. It's just that the application. Because we know today that such creatures were but fantasy, can we hold the sages responsible for tales accepted as factual by all men of science in their age? What does it mean? The science that comes to them, but the halacha wouldn't change, whether these animals exist or they don't exist. And he continues, and at the end he says, it is all but the more curious and meaningful that he preferred to take the circuitous route of adducing and misreading Link rather than traversing the well-trodden of apparently less attractive path of recognizing the derivative nature of rabbinic science. And he says maybe he was being polemic against to those who were alive at his time. Well, Maisa, if anybody wants more, this is in called the Sefer Chazon Nachum, written by, it was put out for Rabbi Lamb's 70th birthday, but it's an article by Dr. Lyman. It's online, if anybody wants to do more research related to the Achbar. Shechesi Baza Vechesi Adama. Either way, the Rambam also heard about it, but he couldn't fathom that it really existed. But that is that's the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about this type of Achbar, because it's Tumen Tara, and it's not going to be in the Shulchan Aruch. But it is the other type, as I mentioned yesterday, the bird. The bird, quoted here in the Mordechai, is discussed. The bird that is formed from a tree. The Shulchan Aruch discusses that. Does it need Shechita? Does it not need Shechita? Does Shechita not help? All the three different Shechitas. You can look in the Mordechai right here in Tuf Shin Lamed Hei. Okay, Adkan about the mouse. Now we continue in the Gemara. Next piece. Tana Rabbanan. Hatameyim L'rabos Beitzas Hasheretz V'kol Yis Hasheretz. Hatameyim, said by Sheretz, that to include the egg of the Shratzim, like we just had in the Mishnah. If you have a formed egg with a Sheretz inside that died, that's going to be Tamei if it has a little hole in it. As we saw, V'kol Yis Hasheretz, and the Kol Yis of a Sheretz, the bone of a Sheretz that's totally closed up. If it has marrow in it, if it's open a little bit, it's going to be tamei. If not, you might think that these are going to be tamei. Let's say the egg, even if the sheretz was not formed inside, tamalomar hasheretz ma sheretz sharakam af bitzas hasheretz sharikma. Only a formed, developed sheretz is going to be tamei tumas nevela or tumas sheretz. And if not. You might think, even if it didn't get a hole in it, and it's totally enclosed, tamalomer hanogea yitma. As the drasha we said before, es she'efsha ligat tamei, vef she'efsha ligat tar. Whatever is possible to touch, that's going to be tamei, and if not, so the tumah has to be able to go out. That's the chiddush of this din. If the tumah is totally surrounded, that's tumah balua, and it doesn't get out, but if it has any tiny amount to get out, it's okay. Bekama nekivasa, how much, what size hole do you need? Kechuta saira. Even a tiny little amount of a hole, she'efsha liga kechuta saira. That you could put a hair in, and it would be able to go through, that's good enough to be considered whole. Fine. Doesn't, because you don't actually, talk about the somehow it can be touched. Not, you don't have to have a whole figure in. Okay, next. Achbar, Shechesi, V'chulu. So, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, V'hu Shehitras al Panei Kulo. Shimon ben Levi says, When is it? The first version of the Gemara is that this is going on the Reisha, the Tanakama. Tanakama says, if you touch the Basar, you're Tameh. If you touch the ground, you're Tahar. When is it that we say, if you touch the Basar, you're Tameh? V'hu Shehitras al Panei Kulo. That's only if the entire half of the body that is now flesh is developed. Rashi says, first the right side develops, then the left side develops. So, the entire half of the body that has already turned to basar is developed. That's Hishritz al Panei Kula. Ika demasti la seifa. Some have this line of Rabbi Shimon Levi on the seifa, Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Afanogia Ba'adama, Shekneged Basar Tameh. Rabbi Yehuda has the bigger chiddush that even if you touch the ground, that is Keneged the Basar Tameh. Amar Rabbi Shua Ben Levi, Vahush Hishritz al Panei Kula. This is only when you chayiv if you touch the ground, if the basar part of it is totally developed. So man demasi la reisha, according to the one who has the first version of the reisha called shekena seifa, will surely say it on the seifa. Meaning, if you even touch the basar, you're only tamei if it's fully developed. Surely, in the bigger chiddush, if you touch the ground keneged the basar, we're only going to say your tamei if the entire basar part of it is developed. Uman demasi la seifa. But according to the one who learns Rabbi Shimon Levi on the Seifa, the second version, Aval Resha, Avagav Delo Hishritz. It could be that when do you say that you need the entire side to be developed? That's only if you're going to say you're even Tame if you touch the ground. But if you touch the Basar itself, maybe if it's not, even if it's not fully developed, right? So therefore Rabbi Shimon Levi might not be going on the Resha if you say it's going on the Seifa. Okay, stop here. Tanur Rabbanan, we continue. Says the Gemara, where are we? Tanur Rabbanan, last skinny line. Mitoch she'ne'emar achbar, from the fact that the Torah says achbar, one of the eight shratzim. Remember the halachas from Parshas Shmini. All shratzim are not kosher. Can't eat any sheretz. But eight of them are metame. Either metame. We mentioned there are some animals, like a chazir, is not, it's also to eat a chazir, it's not one of the shmona shratzim. A nachash is not one of the Shemona Shratzim, but is also to eat. So we mentioned why Anachash is not Metame. We quoted in the past, Arachayim HaKadosh and Rabbeinu Bachai. So, but Achbar is. So Mitosh Nehmer Achbar, Shomei Ani Afilu Achbar, Shebayam, Sheshmo Achbar. There's a mouse of the sea. There's a terrestrial Achbar and a water Achbar. So if it says Achbar in the Torah, I might think that even the Achbar of the Yam, that's also called an Achbar, is also Tame. It's also one of the Shmona Shratzim. V'dinhu, but really, logically, I might have said the opposite. Time b'chulda v'time b'achbar. There's Tumah said by Chulda. Where does Chulda come up? Right, we had our first parak. Chalada. Chalada, one of the psule shchita on Daf Tes. Chalada is when the knife goes underneath the simen and cuts from below, like a chulda, like a weasel that goes underneath things. That's why it's called chalada. So it says chulda in by the shratzim, and it says this tumah by the chulda and the tumah by the achbar. Ma chulda min hagadol al haaretz, just like the chulda is what grows on the land, and that's what's tumah. Av achbar min hagadol al haaretz. So to achbar, you should limit it. Only the one that is terrestrial. Oh, klach l'derech zu. Or I go to the other side, the other svara. Timei b'chulda v'timei b'achbar. Chulda is tamei and achbar is tamei. Ma chulda, kol sheshma chulda. Just like chulda, everything that's called a chulda is tamei. It happens only to be one chulda. Right? So just like everything that's called a chulda is tamei. Af achbar, kol sheshmo achbar. Afilu achbar shebayam. Sheshmo achbar. You might think that's also tamei. So what do you go? Which way do you go? Are you metamei the achbar shebayam or not? By the way, at the end of this price, it's going to connect to our case of the Mishnah. That's why this is all here. But either way, in Achbar Shebayam, what do you say? Stam Balomar Al Haaretz. So we say Al Haaretz to limit it that an Achbar Shebayam is not Tame. So far, that's what we hold. So continues the price. E Al Haaretz. No, you might say if you only had Al Haaretz, Yachol Al Haaretz Yitma Yerid Layam Lo Yitma. I might have said that what does Al Haaretz teach me? You limit it to the Tumah being transferred on the land. Not having to do with the type of creature, but having to do with where the Tumah was transferred. Look at the bottom Rashi. Yachol Al Haaretz Yitma Klomar. When Rashi says Klomar, you know, it's not a Davar Pashut. Let me explain, says Rashi. In other words, Klomar. Omer Ani. Lo edreshenu l'chav amidazu ella l'kach. But I wouldn't darshen it to exclude an achbar of the yam. But I might say as follows: l'kach balomar al haaretz yitma bein achbar hayam bein achbar hayabasha. All types of achbars are included, and it depends where the tum is transferred. If the tum is transferred on the aretz, hanoget naga hapatar yitamenu. If you nafal yam v'sham naga hapatar lo yitma. Maybe it has to do with where the tum is transferred, and not the identity of the creatures themselves. Maybe I would have darshan that al haaretz. So tamalomar ha show rates. Kol makom shesho rates. That's the extra word of hasho rates. Anywhere where it is show rates. Rashi explains why that's an extra word. It could have just said besheretz aretz, not hasho rates besheretz aretz. So hasho rates includes anywhere. So whatever is included anywhere. And therefore, you have to say the other one excludes a achbar shebayam. So Gemara says now, maybe not. O eno ella hasho rates. Kol hamashritz yitma. She'ein mashritz lo yitma. Now we're getting to what we've been talking about. Maybe I should say the word hasharetz includes anything that is mashritz. What does that mean? Anything that reproduces in the normal way, that spreads and multiplies on the land. And what would that exclude? Otzi achbar, shechetz yabasa v'chetz yadama, she'ein paravarava. that is not parva rava in the, and that would be excluded. So maybe I should say that. That's how I should darshan it. And therefore, again, I would not have a pasuk to exclude an achbar shevayam. I would use the word hashoreis to teach me this halacha. V'dinu. And again, you might have said the following logic. Timei b'cholda v'timei b'achbar. Ma cholda kol sheshma cholda. Av achbar kol sheshmo achbar. Avi achbar shechetz yubaz v'chetz yadama. Maybe I should include it. All these different drashas, should I exclude it based on the fact that it is not parin v'ravin in the normal way, or exclude it? Or exclude it, or include it, like the following that we just said. Or the following. Only one that does have the regular way of reproduction from a parent to a offspring. So we include lamaskana, at least this stage, the achbar, that is chatzi chatzi, that's our Mishnah. We include that if you touch at least the basar part of it, so then it is going to be metame you, because that is called a sheretz. Period. I mentioned it Derech Agav before, but remember the important footnote in Rav Dessler in the fourth chelek of Michta Melayo, where he tries to work out all of these chazals to try to fit in even to the signs that we have. And he suggests that when the Gemara says Einan Parin V'Ravin, it doesn't mean literally Einan Parin V'Ravin. Maybe that's how certain Rishonim understood the Gemara, literally. But he suggested that Einan Parin V'Ravin could be a halachic understanding, and that is, they knew. Could be, meaning they knew. We know sometimes the Gemara was beyond its time and was far, far ahead of its time in various areas. So maybe even this Chazal, in a Parvarin, doesn't mean that they don't, but it's as if, because this is what it looks like to us, so it has the status of Einan Parin V'Ravin. That's what he says by the lice, but maybe you could say that here too, that it has the status of Einan Parin V'Ravin, because it doesn't seem to reproduce in the same way to the naked eye. Okay. Viter. Amaleahu made the Rabbanon, Larava. One more try. The one of the rabbis said to Rava, Ema Bisheretz La Asuya. Maybe she dashed it as follows. Bisheretz La Asuya Akbar Shachazibaz Vachadama. Bisheretz includes that. Animal at half and half. Hashorates Kol Shehu Shorates. Hashorates, anything that reproduces in the normal way and spreads. Anything that does that, afilu achbar shebayam. So we should include the achbar shebayam. That's the case that keeps going back and forth. Included, excluded, included, excluded. Maybe we should include even the achbar shebayam. V'imishum al haaretz. And if it says al haaretz, so maybe we should darshan that to what we said before. Al haaretz yitma, yerid layam lo yitma. Maybe only al haaretz, it should make you tame, but not yerid layam. Not in its natural habitat. So the Gemara says, no. Amalei, o me'achad de shavite la yam, makam tuma. No, once you said that yam, meaning you're going to include an achbar sheva yam. So you're going to say yam is a makam tuma. It breeds shrutzen that are tame, mali hacha, mali hacha. What difference should it make? If you say that yam is totally excluded, then you could say that even a aretz, sheretz, would be excluded by going into the yam. But once you're going to include a sheretz sheva yam, why should you say yam is excluded? Right, so the Gemara says, therefore we wouldn't darshan it this way. There's only if Yerid, only al haaretz, it would be tame. So the Gemara says, v'hai al haaretz, one second, maybe we could use al haaretz for something else. Mi ba'ile, we use it, lahotzi, safek tumat safa. Al haaretz is used for something else, to teach me the halacha of safek floating tumah. What's safek floating tumah? Let's say there is a tumah that is floating in the water. Usually, what's the rule? Safik tuma bershus hayachid sveiko tame bershus harabim sveiko tar. That's the usual rule. We learned that out from Anisha Sota. Anisha Sota is a safik. What happened? We don't know what happened. If we know vade what happened, then we don't have hilchos sota. We don't know what happened, and we assume tuma unless proven otherwise until she drinks the water. So that's the source in Maseches Sota and elsewhere for safik tuma bershus hayachid being tame. What's the chiddush of our din here? Even if it's in bershus hayachid, if it's floating tuma, it's tahar. That's the din. To Amr of Yisra Bar Avdimi, Al Haaretz, Lahosi, Savik Tumat Safa, to exclude it. So that's what we learned from Al Haaretz. Only Al Haaretz is going to be Tameh by Safik versus Ayachid, but not floating to a Muslim. The Gemara says, Tarti Al Haaretz Ksivi. Okay, it says it twice. It says it twice, and therefore, it is, we could even exclude the Achbar Sheba Yam. Okay, end of that section. Now we have some Agadata in Tola Mishnah. Once we're talking about Shrutzim, so we bring another Shrutzim. Some Agadata, a little bit. Tana Rabbanon, Hatsav Liminehu. One of the Shrutzim mentioned is the Tsav. Tsav, so usually in the translations, in modern Hebrew, a Tsav means a turtle. But the poskim seem to assume, Rosh Shlomo Zalman says it's beferish, that he assumes that Tsav in the Torah is not what we call a Tsav. Why? How do I know? Because the Mishnah in Shabbos, the Gemara in Shabbos, discusses trapping a Tsav on Shabbos. And say that Tsav being a Daraisa. Shlomo Zalman says that Tsav, if you trap his manazeh, a turtle, it's not Daraisa. Because only animals that require some type of effort to trap are they included in the Malacha Daraisa of trapping. If you trap a cow on Shabbos, right, that is not the Malacha Daraisa of trapping. If you trap a dog or a cat or others or a bird, for sure, that's the Malacha of trapping. So the fact that there's a discussion about a Tzav being trapped on Shabbos, haraya, that it must not be the Tzav that we understand as Tzav, right? After all, the example given, the tortoise and the hare, right, the slow animal. So that's not going to be included. The Shmir Shabbos says this in the new Shmir Shabbos, Perachav Zayin, Simen Memhei, Ba'alechayim Ka'ela, She'ein B'minam Tzeda. Ba'alechayim like these that are not usually trapped. Tahainu, She'binakel, Efshar Lakachtam, Vein Darkam Levroach. They're easy to take. You don't usually, a snail, right, anything like that, Kagon, Hanamala, or an ant, V'hatzav, Loshayach Le'am Isr Tzeda, Avalot Lakachtam B'yadam, She'misr Muksa. They're muksa. All animals are muksa on Shabbos, but there's no issur of seida. If you look on the footnote, Shamati me'agon rashom zaman oyebach zatzal. The lo asur midrabbanon ela bebalachaim ke'ela shebederek klal shayeches bo seida. Even on a drabbanon level, what's drabbanon? Animals that are usually the shayech, but in the circumstances that they're in now, you know, they're easy. Kagon chola. Let's say you have a leopard that's sick. So a leopard is very hard to trap. So if a leopard's sick and it can't move and you trap it, that's going to be also Durabanan. That's also Durabanan. Ma she'enkim b'nemala v'chadoma she'benokel efshar lakachta gam im darkal hischabe mikom akom ein zeh gedr shol tzeda. Even if they try to get away, if they're easy to trap, that's not called tzeda daraisa. V'lo rak b'bali chayim ha'mitsuyin b'ino anashim el afilu ke'ela she'enim mitsuyin b'ino anashim klakon tzav. Nobody has too many turtles. Sometimes people have pet turtles. But im ein darkan lebracha benakal afshar lechozbayim mistava darak mishum muksa aslotovsam delo mishum tzeda. Then he says at the end, o mishum kach nira de mistaver shegam tzav haamur batora hu lo masha nukorim tzav shari hu holech maod laat. That is for Shlomo Zalman in the footnote. Again, that's an important ta'ara that tzav in the Torah is not a tzav that we call today. Okay. So, Tana Rabbanan, Hatsav Liminehu Lahavi Ha'arvad. Sav, according to its type, includes an Arvad. What is an Arvad? We'll see later on. It is a mixed breed. We'll see exactly what an Arvad is. It's a very dangerous animal, as we will see. The Gemara will describe what exactly it is. V'chein, these are all included in being Tameh. That's what the Tzav is, right? This is from Shmini. V'chein ha-Nefilim, also the Nefilim, it's a type of, also, Sheretz Min Tzav, Rashi says. It's a Min Tzav, Nefilim. V'salamandara, what's the salamandara? It's not a salamander. Or maybe it is a salamander. What is a salamander? Rashi says here, last skinny line, first wide line, Sheretz hanotzar min ha'or me'atzi hadas ayidik shafim. A sheretz that's created from fire when you burn hadas wood, myrtle wood, through kshafim. Through kshafim, through magic. Fahasach midamo, and when you smear yourself with its blood, ein ha'or sholeifo, you're protected from fire. If anybody remembers the last Amud in Maseches Chagiga, that's what it says. It spoke about the salamandara, right, that was created. But there, Rashi gives a little different shot. A little different shot. What exactly is the salamander? Rashi here says, it's min ha-kshafim. It's min kshafim, right? You put it, it's with fire, but with kshafim. But if you look in Rashi in Chagiga, and over there, the Gilon HaShas, or Kiva Eger, points to our Rashi. He says, that Rashi is a little different. Rashi there says, Chagiga Chavzayin, last Amud, salamandara, Chaya hanivres min ha'or, chaya that comes from fire, kishe boarin eish b'makom echad shevashanim, tamid b'li hefsik. when you burn a fire for 7 years straight, it's boiling, boiling hot in that area. So it's a chaya that's nivreis from that area. What's this doing at the end of Chagiga? If you remember, the Gemara talks about Tamar Chacham ein or shal gehenim sholetas bahem. Kal v'chomer misalamandara. A Tamar Chacham is protected from the fires of Gehenim, Kavachomer from a salamander. If a salamander, shetoldos eshi. It's a tolda of esh. Hasach mi dama, ein orsho letus bo. If you smear from its blood, fire doesn't, affect you. Tamar Chacham, shekol gufon esh. A Tamar Chacham, which is mamish fire. Right? The fire of Torah, that is him. So surely he would be protected from the fire of Gehenim. Okay, either way, so we have two different shatim. Rashi over there says it comes from fire that was burning for 7 years, and over here it comes from kshafim, says the Chassam Sofer. Here, chulun kuf chav zayin, says the Chassam Sofer. I can put it all together. How do I put it all together? First, he has a kasha. He says, first of all, kashel lahalom shamachashim yicholom libriyach hadasha. How could you say that magicians can make a new creature? Don't say that. How do you believe in that? V'gam kasha shikaraba l'rabos and the pasuk here is coming to include that? The pasuk is coming to include a kshafim animal? So he says, no. Alkein rilani has daiti. Devadai. Bria hi shebi yesod esh. It must be a bria that comes from the natural world. And that's found in the natural world. Where? Kidamashma b'shmaitzin. Vehi gedola beharim hamarokim esh hayuduim. They live where mountains spew fire, volcanoes. It's animals that live near volcanoes, which burn for many, many years. These magicians that like to fake people out, that like to, use and say, oh, we've created creatures. If they wouldn't live by fire, they would live in the volcanoes, they would die. That's where they live. So, okay, tzrichim ha-machashvim lo-hachin lo-hem makom cham, kemo yisod eish, she-yidarim sham. They wanted to get a salamander that they're going to fake people out to say that they created, but they have to create something in their own house that's hot enough to be able for that salamander, they have to create a habitat for these animals to live. So that's why they burn something for 7 years in that area, in their house. They quickly bring one of the salamanders from the volcano area to live there. So, put everything together. 7 years, machashvim use it, but ultimately the pasuk comes to exclude it, to include it, because it is a natural being from the areas of the volcanoes. That's what, just like you create habitats for fish, says the Chazam Sofer, so do you create habitats for these salamanders, and they're parin v'ravin sham in the natural way in the heat, umidamam moshchin b'nei adam ve'ein eish sholei b'hem. Okay, that's what he says. Okay, that's the Chazam Sofer right here in Chulin. We continue. So, Tzav includes the Arvad, the Nephilim, and the Salamander. Uksha Rabbi Kiva Magila Pasuk Zeh, when Rabbi Kiva came to this Pasuk, Omer, Marabu Masach Hashem. How great are God's creations? Rabbi Akiva throughout Shas was very emotional. He read psukim and he reacted to them. How do we read psukim? We read psukim, okay, and then we read them. Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says in Adarim, he used to read psukim and cry. When he read when he spoke about when the pasuk in Parshas Matos includes that you have to do tshuva for a neder that the husband already was matir and the wife didn't know about, he says, "Oy vey, if even she didn't even really do an aver, you have to do tshuva. Kal v'chomer if you actually ate the chalef." So Rabbi Kiva read psukim and it was meaningful to him. So here he used to read psukim. He said, "Marav Masach Hashem." Why? What's the godless? Yesh v'cha brias gadilas bayam. V'yesh v'cha brias gadilas biyabasha. There are some creations that live in the sea. Some that live on the dry land. Shebayam il mali olas biyabasha miyad mesos. Shebayabasha il mali yodas liyam miyad mesos. Kodesh Baruch Hu created an unbelievable system. Creatures that were created in their natural area of living, and if they're not there, they would die. Right? Kodesh Baruch Hu created gvulim, borders. Yesh lecha brios shegadolos ba'ur, v'yesh lecha brios gedolos ba'avir. Some creations live in fire, meaning in boiling hot places, like the Chassam Sofer just said, the salamandra. And some, right, live in air. Maybe that means in dry climates without fire. Sheba or maybe in cold climates. Sheba or mali odos la'avir mian besos. Sheba avir mali yodos la'ar mian besos. Ma rabu masecha Hashem. How great are these creations? Good. 2 points. Number one, we have a sitter here. The Marsha says here, first of all, that we know the ancients believed that there were four. There are four yesodos, right? Eish, ruach, mayim, and afar. Says the Marsha, that's what he's pointing out here. There's all the different yesodos are separate and unique, and they don't cross with each other. Says the Marsha, and that's the galus of Hashem. Hashem created the whole world with this. Zachar b'maisa Hashem dalad yesodos hapshutim eish ruach layim aretz zel shamar ki kol nivra min hayesodos elu eino yotzei mitivo ki hine yesh l'chabrias gedolos bayam v'chulu. Each one lives in its yesod, and they don't cross. One. The other point I wanted to mention is that there's a diuk. If you look in, it was just Rosh Chodesh. If you look in Bar Chinafshi that we just said on Rosh Chodesh, this pasuk of Marabba Masach Hashem is in there, but for some reason it's in the middle of the parak. Tilam Kuf Dalet. It's in the middle of the parak. Right, we have this whole beautiful discussion of nature. Baruch Inafshi Yes Hashem. Hod Vadavash Oda Kasama. Note the Shemaim. He spread out the heavens and Yas Eretz Amachoneha. Tom Baltimo Tom Kalvash Kisiso. You covered nighttime with darkness. Min Garoscha Yenusun Mikol Ramcha Yechafesun. Yalo Harm Yeredivakos. Mountains, valleys. Gavul Sandaval Yavorun. But you make sure the water doesn't cover the ground. And you give drink and to all of the chayos, the chulub, this whole beautiful discussion. And then towards the end of the Mizpah, it says, Marabba Masach Hashem, Kulam Bachach Masisa Malar Eskinanecha. Beautiful. The Patsik there, Rabbi Kiva is quoting. And then we continue. Ze Hayam Gadal Rechav Yadayim, Shom Remes Vein Mizpah, Chayos Kanam Gadol, Shom Aniyos Yahal Lechun. What's that? So that Patsik should be the first Patsik of the Mizpah or the last Patsik of the Mizpah? What's it doing in the smack in the middle? So in the Magalei Hashas, he quotes from Ephraim Dov Oyerbach, right, the Rav of Tveria, Shlomo Zalman's son. He quotes that it's Dafka here based on our Gemara, because everything up until Marabu is about Aretz. Everything after Marabu is about Yam. And therefore, there's never the twain shall meet, and Dafka, because of that distinction, that was Rabbi Akiva, Marabu Masech Hashem. Rabbi Akiva got it from this Mizmar. Marabu is Dafka in the middle, right after all the discussion of the Tirmus Kol Chai Soyar, Hakifim Shagam Lataref, right after, then Marabu Masech Hashem, and then right after that, Zehayom Gadar Rechav Yadayim, there the boats go, Shamani Luvyasan Zeh Yatzar Del Asachek Bo. Right afterwards, it talks all about the Yam. That's Meduyuk in Baruch Inafshi. Okay, that's what Avram Dov Oyerbach says, based on this from the Margolius Hashas. Good. Insight into Baruch Inafshi. Here we go. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Kol Yesh B'Yabasha Yesh B'Yam Chutz Min HaCholda. Everything on dry land, there is a parallel creature in the sea, except for Cholda. Cholda is only on the land. Amar Abzeir Maikra, how do you know that? Ha'azinu Kol Yoshvei Choled. Talking about people. People don't live in the sea. People can't live in the sea. No such thing as mermaids, right? So Yoshvei Choled, and the language used by the unique creature of the land is Choled. That's like from the word Cholda. That's, you know, Cholda is only on the land. Amar Rav Huna Breider of Yeshua. So the following lines is a Machlokas Rashi. Tells us exactly what this means. We're going to go with Rashi's pshat. Beivare de Narash. Einan min hayishuv. The beavers of the place called Narash, They're not min hayishuv. They're not part of society. What does that mean? They're not part of society. Rashi says, "Einam min hayishuv." Find you the Rashi, third wide line, "Einam gedelos el b'mayim," meaning the beaver, they only live in water. L'may nafgamina. So Tosis explains Rashi. It means for Malkus purposes. It's not called the sheretz ha'aretz. It's called the sheretz ha'mayim. And that there are a couple of yisurim by shratzim. So you only get Malkus for sheretz ha'mayim. Says Tosis explaining Rashi. Amra papa. Now, once we're talking about the place of Narash, we're going to talk about that it's not such a great place. Bishamta Narash. Narash, the people of Narash should be in excommunication. Tarbe mashche ba'alise. It's fat, skin, and tail. It just means everything. All the kitchen sink, all of it. Men, women, and children, everybody should be in Cherem because they do terrible things there. Eretz, Shemi Dvar Hashem, says Yirmiyahu. Amra papa, lo ava Narash shmoa Dvar Hashem. Yirmiyahu cried, listen, land. And Rav Papa says, Narash didn't want to listen. That pasuk is referring to Narash. Amar of Gidol Marav, Narsha'a Nashkech Manikachach. If someone from Narash kisses you, you better count your teeth. Why? Because they were big, doesn't literally mean teeth, it just means they're very sly, and they'll try to steal something from you, even your teeth. Nahar Pikoda'a Lavyach. If somebody from Nahar Pikoda'a accompanies you, Miglima Shapira Dechazi Alach. It's because they see you're wearing a fancy coat and they're going to want to steal it. Pumpadisa Lavyach. If somebody from Pumpadisa accompanies you, Ashne Ushbizech. You better change where you're going to sleep that night because he's going to come tonight to try to steal something from you. What's the progression? So if you see, I saw one of the acronym, and the Biur HaDaf says, it's all min ha-chomer el ha-kal. The first people, they would take something from you, like while you're awake, while you're there, and they're so tricky, they'll get it from you. The next one is, you know, not so tricky. They'll take your coat. They'll try to figure out a way to get your coat, but not mamash your teeth, something that's hidden. And the third is not on that level. They'll just steal something at night, when you're not looking. So that's why you gotta be careful at night. Period. Amar Afuna bar Turta. Rav Huna bar Turta. Who's Rav Huna bar Turta? I'm not sure if this is the one. There's Yerushalmi about someone. I don't think it's Rav Huna bar Turta. A different bar Turta. That's the one that had a cow that he bought. He bought a cow from a Jew, and the cow wouldn't work on Shabbos until the previous owner whispered in the cow's ear and said, you're not owned by a Jew anymore. You're allowed to work on Shabbos. And it started working, and the guy was so inspired and impressed by that he became Jewish. They called him Bar Turta, the son of the cow, because the son of the ox, because that's the ox is the one that made him inspired to become Jewish. So I don't think it was Rav Huna Bar Turta. A Gilgal of Vashti. Really? The Ma'am Lois. Okay. I am not well-versed in Gilgulim, but okay, I trust you. Pamachas. Ma'akesher between Vashti and the... There's always messages of Gilgulim, even if they don't...
She forced the Jewish women to work on Shabbos.
She forced the Jewish women to work on Shabbos. Oh. She wasn't forced the women to work on Shabbos. Interesting. Okay. So, Paramachas, Rav Huna says, Paramachas lachti levad. One time I went to Vad. I went to Vad. It was the name of a place. V'ra'isi nachashu karachal atzav. I saw a snake and a tzav that were being together. They were being cross-breeded. Le'yamim yatsa arvad mi b'nayam. The arvad is a mix of a snake and a tzav. Ukshabasa the Rav Shimon, which is a very dangerous animal, and that dangerous animal went and started killing and hurting the people of that place. Ukshabasa the Rav Shimon achasid. Amar li, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. When I went to Rav Shimon achasid and I asked him about this, he said to me, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, heim heviu bir yishal brasi bolami. They involved themselves in cross-breeding. Rashi says, mizavge kilayim hayu. They were always involved in crossbreeding, so I'm going to crossbreed a dangerous animal for them. Afani avi aleim birya shel barasi bolami. That's mita keneged mita. Avi amar mar. But don't we have a principle that we're going to have Hashem in? See the side of the Gemara? Bechoros. Getting our appetites wet. That's the next masechta. So, kol shetashmishon v'iburan shava yoldenu magadlan zemizeh. Which animals could be crossbreeded? Those who get pregnant, who have the same pregnancy, right? That's iburan. And they have the same way of tashmish. Right, different animals. Some are face to face. Some are front to back. So only animals that mate the same way could be cross mated and create an offspring. Because she ain't tashmish and iburan shava ain't yoldin magadlan zemizeh. And we know a snake in itself don't. The snake has years. That's part of the punishment of the nachash. It has years of ibur, and they're very different. So I'm a rab neis besoch neis. That's mamid. Yeah, that's part of the miracle here. That's part of the mida keneged mida. Hi pranusu, but this was for punishment. The answer is yeah. My neis besoch neis the piranus. It was even for piranus because it was to punish rishayim. So therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu even did a neis for this. Okay. Back to Meseches Chulin. Back to Ha'arva Rotev. Says the Mishnah. Ha'ever v'ha'basar ha'medudon b'beheima. We discussed this way back in the fourth parak. These kinds of topics. When we discussed Ben Pakua, if the animal sticks its arm out, the fetus sticks its arm out before it was shechted. That was all the discussion there. So we compared it to dangling, mostly cut limbs already, because it was like if it was cut it was out. So we quoted this already before. So ha'aver v'ha'basar ha'medudon b'beheima. In the aver and the basar, what's the difference between aver and basar? An aver is a full limb, right? It has meat on it, it has bones, it has sinews. Basar is just meat, just flesh. What's the difference between a halacha, aver and basar? So Rashi quotes here, but we have to remember this. Aver menachai is mitami like nevela. Basar menachai is not mitami at all. Basar menachai is not mitami at all, just aver menachai is mitami. So, aver, v'abasar amadu dolan bebehema, if you have a limb or basar that is dangling from an animal, amazing chiddush we're about to hear. Mitamin tumas ochlin bimkoman. Even though it's still attached to an animal, it's attached. It's still connected to the live animal. It's mitamin tumas ochlin. Tami tumas ochlin. As long as what? As we'll see in a second. Bimkoman. V'tzrichen hechsher. And it needs hechsher. As long as what? You have to need two things. Rashi implicitly says the first one. You thought about that you are going to eat this or feed it to somebody. Tumas ochel is only if you think about it for food. So Rashi says you thought about giving it to a guy. Tosfos Yontif says, what do you mean? Also, a guy is also asked to eat it. The answer is, he's a Rasha, he'll eat it. If I want to say Jews or Rasham. But either way, as long as you have this dangling limb or flesh of the animal, if I thought about eating it, so that gives it ochel, and it requires heksher. It got wet with one of the seven liquids, so that is batami tumas ochlin. That part of the animal. You can't do this for a real limb that's totally attached, because the animal's alive. Can't be batame. But here, where it's semi-separated already, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. That if it's semi-separated, it can be matame to mazoklin, even though it's not nevela yet. It's still considered connected for hilchas nevela, but it's not considered connected for hilchas to mazoklin. Nishchata habehema, once the animal is shechted, huchsheru bidameha. So if the animal is shechted, so then it's not nevela, right? Shechita is mitarmi de nevela. It's not nevela. But, so then, hukshiru, then it becomes hukshar, the rest of the animal becomes hukshar, bidameha, or even this limb, bidameha, with the blood, with its own blood. Div Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir says, because once the animal is shechted, now the whole animal is not nevela, so it's not tame itself, but it could become tame. So now, how did it become hukshar? With its own blood. Rabbi Shimon Omer lo hukshar. Rabbi Shimon says, no, lo hukshar. It wasn't hukshar with its own blood. We'll see exactly in the Gemara what the machlokas is between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. Mesa habehem, or if the animal died. The animal was not shechted, but this animal, which had the dangling limb, died. Then habasar tzarech hechsher. Then the basar requires hechsher. Right, the basar requires that? What do you mean the basar requires a hechsher? Why? The rest of the animal is a nevela. Why does this limb require hechsher? Isn't it just nevela? So this relates to the principle that we had earlier in the Masechta called Misa Ose Nipol. And Shechita is not Ose Nipol. We had this back in the fourth parak. That principle meant that if you have a dangling limb and then the animal died, then the death allows us to look at the limb as if it was detached before the death. And therefore, that limb is not metamim mishum nevela. Shechita does not do that. Only misa does that. So therefore, that's what this vision is based on. Mesa, if it died, habehema, so then the whole animal is nevela. But this limb is not nevela. Retroactively, we can look at it as if the limb was already cut off. See Rashi on the fourth skinny line? Misa osa nipo. That's what we had earlier. And therefore, it itself, it is not nevela. Ha'ever mitame mishum ever min separatin. Ha'ever mitame mishum ever min achayve. And mitame mishum ever nevela. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Meir says that the ever is mitame mishum ever min achay, but not because of ever nevela. At least we just said it's not called a nevela. Rabbi Shimon mitar. Rabbi Shimon says it's totally tahar. We'll have to figure out why that is. If the animal died, that the limb is totally tahar. Why is that? You should say it's at least Tamei Mishum Eiver Menachai, because it was considered, if you want to say it's a Misa Osa Nifal, so it's separated, it's considered separated before the animal died, so it should be Tamei as least like Eiver Menachai. Okay, we'll have to see what the Machlokas is in the Gemara.
Why by Shechita isn't it the same thing?
Because the Gemara says Shechita is not Osa Nifal. That's what Gemara said earlier. What the animal shechted, we don't view it as if it was detached beforehand. We spoke a little bit about the Lumdus then, only meat, but we said it's a hard concept, but that's the concept is clear. Why is not so clear? But misa osa nifal, but shechita is not osa nifal. Maybe because we mentioned a little bit then that no significant act happened, so therefore you're allowed to view it as if the detachment earlier was more significant. By shechita, a significant act happened, so it's all connected to that act of shechita. Might be something you have to listen, go back to the Shirim to review. So Gemara, says the Gemara, Tumas Ochlin in Tumas Nevela Lo. What was the first part of the Mishnah? The huge Chiddush. You have this dangling limb. It could become Tame, even though a live animal cannot become Tame. So it's Batame, Tumas Ochlin, and not Tumas Nevela. What does Tumas Nevela here mean? Tosfos says, in the little Tosfos, it means Tumas Eber Ben Achai, which is the same level as Tumas Nevela. So at this moment, when the limb is dangling, it's tumas, it could achieve tumas ochlin, but not tumas eiver ben achai. So hey chidami, what exactly is the case here? Idemal an arucha, if it's dangling, but it's healthy enough that it could grow back. I feel tumas ochlin namilo litzmo. It shouldn't be even tumas ochlin. It should be considered a good part of the animal. V'ideinmal an arucha, and if it can never grow back, it's so disconnected that it's never going to get better. Tumas avel namilo litzmo. So it should be considered nevela already. So the Gemara answers the Olam De'imel on Arucha. Really, it's not getting better. And that's why there's Tumas Ochlin. V'shayin Tumas Nevela, but special did by Tumas Nevela, Rachmana Amar, ki yipol. Ad sheyipol. Special did by Nevela, it has to be totally detached. Nevela here meaning Aver Menachai. Tuma, it has to be totally separated. Peri, Tanya Namihaki, the Brisa also learned. Ha'eber v'habasar ha'medudalim b'behema, u'me'urin b'chut ha'sayra. It's a little connected by a thin strand. Yochel yitamu tumas nevela. You might think it's v'tamei nevela. Tamalomar yipol ache yipol. V'yafilo ha'chi tumas ochlen v'tamu, but it's still matami tumas ochlen. Peri. Messiah le'le Rav Chiya Barashi. Let's say this is a proof to Rav Chiya Barashi. Dam Rav Chiya Barashi amar Shmuel. Te'enim shem tsamku bi'ivehen. Totally different concept, at least partially. Let's say you have figs that are still on their tree. They're still connected to the tree, but they're totally dried out. Similar concept. Detached and not detached. They're totally dried out. Mitami Tumas Ochlin. They're already considered Tumas Ochlin. So you see, right, something that is still attached could still be Mitami Tumas Ochlin. Even though if you pull them on Shabbos, if you cut them off the tree on Shabbos, they're totally dried out, you're Chayev. Chayev Daraisa for the Malach of Kotzer. If it was a Bishogi, you bring a Chatas. So what does that tell us about the Malach of Kotzer? So I hope, I'm going to try tonight or tomorrow night, one of the nights, I'll let you know when, there'll be an Ian Shia related to the Malach of Kotzer, right, related to this Gemara. But here the Gemara says clearly that even if they're totally dried out, there's still a Malach of Kotzer. So Lema, so that proves our case. That could be a middle status. With this Tumas Ochlin, and there's a Chiyuv on Shabbos, it's still considered Mechubar regarding Hilchos Shabbos. So just like a parallel to our case. Lema Messiah Le also here, Yerakos Shetzamku Be'ivehen, vegetables that also got totally dried out while they're still connected. Could go on a kruva dalas, like these types of vegetables, cabbage and gourd. Ain matami tumas ochlin. They're not matami tumas ochlin. Katzitzan v'yavshan, matami tumas ochlin. But if you cut them and they dried out, they're matami tumas ochlin. What? Katzitzan v'yavshan, takadaitach, eitz pa'amu. If the vegetables get totally dried out, they're not food, they're not edible anymore. What's this b'raisa talking about? V'yavar b'yitzchak, ba'al menas liyavshan. No, that's what we're talking about. If you cut them al menas to dry them until they get dried out, they're matami tumas ochlin. Says the Gemara, taima de krivadalasu. So the only reason that this Tosefta in Uksin quotes these halachas, that if it's still connected, it's not matami tumas ochlin, is because it's krivadalas. Why? To keep in the yapshon labani achilin inu. Because these vegetables, when they get dried out, they're totally not edible. Hashar peiros matamu. Other fruit would be able to become tame, even in their semi-dried out state. So hechi dami, what exactly is the case we're talking about? E de yavshan hein v'ukseihan pshita. If they're totally dried out, totally, they and their ukits, so then it's obvious that they're matami tumas ochlin, because it's like it's totally disconnected. Elala below ukseihan, it must mean that their ukits, they're still a little connected. And it's matami tumas ochlin by other fruit. So isn't this a raya? Another case, only by these dalas and kruv, which get totally dried out, they're disconnected by others, which would still be considered connected somewhat. So that is matami tumas ochlin. Isn't this another raya? The Gemara says, no, this one's not a raya. La'olam hein v'ukseihan. Really, maybe. It's totally dried out. Even the ukits. What's the chiddush then of the brisa? The katz on amanas liyapshan and srichalei. The chiddush is the next line. That if you cut them in order to dry them out, you might have thought that they're totally not matami tumas ochlin, even before they get dried out. Kamash malan, they are. Tashma, just finishing up. Ilan shenifshach lebo peros. Let's say you have a tree that a branch got cut off, and there was fruit on the branch that got cut off. Harein ketulushin. Those fruit are considered talush for Hilchos Shabbos and for others. Tumas Ochlin. Yavshu. But what if there are fruits still connected to the tree, but they're dried out? Harein kumachubarin. Then they're considered connected for certain halachas. My love, matlushin l'chol d'reyem af mechubar l'chol d'reyem. So this is a kasha. Just like we say, the first case on the branch, they're totally taller. So too mechubar, they're totally mechubar. And therefore you can't have any distinctions? Isn't that what we should say? So Gemara says, no, meet the Arya. You have to say that hakadisa, hakadisa. You could say mechubar, talush is totally talush for all its halachas. Mechubar, it's considered mechubar for some halachas, like for Hilchos Shabbos, and it's considered talush for other halachas, like for Hilchos Tumas Ochlin. Okay, we'll have to stop here. But as we continue, so I hope, Ed Hashem, to give the shiur tonight, 9:30 after Ma'ariv, related to the malacha of Kotzer. Anybody's interested.